We're headed to Jonah today, so you know, and starting a series, actually, and I kind of wrestled over this, over starting a series on a week where it would snow. I had a really good sermon, and I thought maybe I should just save that and just preach a lousy sermon today and save the good sermon for next week, but we're going to go ahead and jump into this series today, actually, and many folks are watching from home, and the word will spread, we'll catch up over the weeks, but we're headed to Jonah chapter number one. As you turn there, Brother Jorge mentioned a thank you. Let me shout out a thank you as well. And maybe it's not the greatest day to it with not as many people here, but my wife and I so appreciate just the cards and gifts and thoughtfulness that were expressed to us around the Christmas season. There were folks who were generous with us and blessed us, and just a lot of great thoughts, and we've loved being here, and I just want to extend our appreciation back for that being shown to us, and also for my birthday last week. I never would have seen that coming. All of you who snuck around and put that together, and when Donald was up here, and I have learned at SSA that when someone announces there will be some light refreshments, that is not what that means at all. That when I hear light refreshments, there will be a full-blown meal. Yeah, light refreshments will include chicken and rice and all sorts of sides. I like those kind of refreshments. So, and it was before we jumped into our fast, so the timing worked out good. But thank you so much. So, hey, Jonah chapter number one, we're going to spend 4 weeks in it, and I'm going to read the whole first chapter today. Through the course of the 4 weeks, I'll read a chapter each week. Some are longer than others. The first one, in fact, I believe is the longest one. It is. Yeah, and I'm going to read it to you today. And then we're going to walk through it each week and look at some great truths that God would speak to our hearts from this little book in the Bible and this prophet who is here. And there's a bunch of them in there. So Jonah chapter 1, starting in verse number 1, it says this to us. It says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh." And in fact, you know what? I'll scroll through on this. I can do that, guys, so it'll stay with me. "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. I'm tagging my iPad, but maybe it's a snow week, so it's not cooperating. Or you guys scroll for me in the back. It says, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, verse 3, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out. Oh, it jumped on me there. And each cried out. Let me switch back. I'm going to go on my paper Bible from now, since that's not cooperating. You guys can scroll through for me in the back while I'm just reading from that one for now. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. It's verse number 6. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, and we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, "O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man for you. O Lord, have done as you please." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Remember, they didn't even serve God before that. This changed their lives. Verse 17, "But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and 3 nights." that fish was not on the Daniel fast or any kind of partial fast. He was allowed to eat Jonah. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. I pray, Lord God, that you would strengthen us, build us, encourage our hearts through it, Lord God. Help us to learn from this prophet from many days ago, Lord God. I know it's not a stale word, Lord God. It's a word written many centuries ago, but it's a fresh word. It's fresh manna to us today. And I pray that through it, Lord God, you would direct our paths. Church, would you pray with me, Lord? Speak to my heart through this word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hey, if you guys can back me up a little bit in there, we should kind of be on the title of the sermon, if you will. My iPad is kind of doing whatever it wants to do. I don't know if you've got the title before that, but I'm going to come to that point a little bit later, just so you know. Most of us have known the story of Jonah since we were just children. We knew the story since we were kids. Even if we didn't grow up in church, we already heard about the story of Jonah. We were aware of it. He's this prophet who made a run for it, but he just could not get away. He couldn't get away from God. No one can, because when you try to outrun God, when you try to run away from God, God chases you. God chases you. That's what every parent does if their child tries to run away. It's what you did if you were a parent when you had children, when they were smaller. If they tried to run out into the street or they tried to run off in a store or run off in public, what do? You don't say, well, this will teach you a lesson. No, you pursue your child. And in fact, even when our children get older and become teens and young adults, if they're running away from what we know is good for them, we still stay in pursuit of them, do we not? We pray for them. We speak into their lives. No parent stops chasing their child. We get that from God. It's how he is with us. Jesus told a story of a young man who ran away from his father. We call that story the story of the prodigal son. And when he ran away, when he took his inheritance and left, if you know that account, when he finally decided to come back, he found his father, when he was far off in the distance, was standing outside of the home on the porch of the house looking out for him, standing there waiting for him, waiting for him to come back. And then, in fact, when he saw his son, he didn't even wait for his son. He ran to him. That's the heart of the Father for you. That's the heart of the Father for me. He is a God who runs after us and runs to us, praise God. The difference between an earthly father, though, like the one in Jesus' story, and God the Father, is God always knows where you're at. Think about that for a second. God chases you, but God always knows where you're at. And God always knows where you're going. He's always aware of that. He always knows what's going on. And God never pursues us then, though, although he does. He never pursues us in anger. God pursues us, if you will. He does this in love. He has a heart for us. And let me just help out the guys in the back real quick. The title of the sermon is That One-Way Ticket. If you see, not there. It was there it is. Thank you so much. Yeah. In a bit, we'll jump to that next point. Thanks so much. So God pursues us. God loves us and he pursues us. Now I want you to catch something from me before we jump into a couple of truths today. Jonah is not someone running away from God because he doesn't have a relationship with God. It is the exact opposite of that. Jonah is not a guy who's running away because he wants to live a life of sin. It's nothing like that. Jonah is a man of God. Jonah is such a man of God that when God speaks to him, he hears the voice of God. That's how he got into this situation. He's not in this situation because he doesn't have a relationship with God. He's in this situation because he has a relationship with God. Are you with me? He hears from God. God speaks to his heart, and Jonah hears the voice of God and what God says, and he knows what God wants, and he's aware of the voice of God. But although he knows that, and although he knows what God wants, he still flees in a different direction because he doesn't want to do what God wants him to do. And in fact, anytime I know what God wants, but I go in a different direction, I'm doing the same thing that Jonah did. And could I be so bold today as to say, perhaps there's a little Jonah in all of us. Do I have the right folks? There's a little Jonah in all of us. That along the way, there are times where we know what God wants us to do. We know what we're supposed to do, but then what do? No, I'm not doing that. I'm going to do this over here instead. I'm not going to do what God wants me. And it's not that we're not people of God. It's not that we don't have a relationship. You can't even get in that situation unless you have a relationship with God. You can't even get in that situation unless you're close to God and have a heart for God and hear his voice and know his word. And that's the case with him as well. Jonah has a heart for God, and that's what put him in this. So remember that. And thankfully, the same God who chased Jonah When he ran, he chases us also, but he never gives up on us. Now, Wayne and Fred, they heard that it was going to snow more this afternoon, so they've jumped me ahead to like the second or third point to try to get you out of here, but I'm not falling for it if you're looking at the tiles. Can you guys do me a favor? They're trying to trick me to go ahead in my notes, I think, but we're not doing that. Do me a favor and put that picture up of my grandson with Mr. Fox really quick, if you can find that one. I know I saw it earlier in there, so hopefully you still have it. Mr. Fox is back. I'm going to hold out and let him find that, and hopefully it'll pop up. I know it was right here on my iPad a little bit ago, so I hope you have it in the back. It's not cooperating. Try to find that, and if you can get back to it. I'm just going to tell you the story real quick while they look for it. Mr. Fox, I walk him with he has a harness on and he has a retractable leash. You know what a retractable leash is. He can walk away, but it automatically comes back. So when I walk Mr. Fox, there are times where I walk along where I get a little nonchalant and I don't pay attention too good. And if he darts off, if I'm not paying attention, he'll snatch it out of my hand. But since it's a retractable leash and it's hooked to him, when he runs, the leash, the handle, pursues him. Now this freaks the dog out. He begins to run haphazardly in every direction. He will run in circles. He bounces around in the neighbor's yard because he is trying to get away from the leash. But the leash is pursuing him and is hooked to him, so he can't get away from it. And try as he might to juke it and dodge and run around, he can't get away because it's connected to him. That's what it's like to try to run away from God. A God who pursues you. A God who is after you. A God who you, if you will, you want to go in a different direction. But you cannot get away. Just as a dog can't, I can't, you can't, Jonah couldn't. God chases us. Now, I had a map that I really wanted to show you, but I don't know if it's going to come up. It is a map of the Mediterranean, and it is where Jonah was trying to go. God had called Jonah to go to Nineveh, as you know. So while God called Jonah to go to Nineveh, instead, Jonah goes down to the ticket office, and he bought a ticket to Tarshish. Now, we wouldn't know where Tarshish is on our own, but Tarshish is all the way down at the bottom of Spain. Now, at that time, when Jonah lives, it's important to catch this, Spain is the end of the earth. When Jonah lives, is the earth round or flat? It's flat to him. Now, we know it was round, but he doesn't know that yet. These guys in this time, they still believe the earth is flat. If you still believe the earth is flat, you're wrong. But anyway, he still believed the earth is flat. And does Jonah know about North America and South America? No. He only knows Europe over to Asia. There's that map. That's all Jonah knows. All he knows is Europe over to Asia. So he's over here in Israel. And Nineveh is up there in Assyria, if you see off to the right of that map. So Jonah is told, go to Nineveh. Instead, look at where Tarshish is. Jonah went to the MTA and said, what's the last stop? Jonah got on the bus and said, I'm not getting off until the end of the route. Jonah went to the train station and said, what's the farthest? Jonah showed up at the port and said, where's the farthest away I can go? That's what he does. I'm getting as far away as I can. He didn't have any reason to go to Tarshish. He's running. He's headed out there. So Jonah buys this ticket. He's headed out to the end of the earth. I'm not going to do this. I don't want to go where God wants me to go. We could say, why so much? Why would a man of God not want to do what God called him to do? The people of Nineveh, they are his enemies. They're cruel. They've come down and raided his people more than once. It's very well possible that Jonah knows people who were killed by the people of Nineveh, who were harmed by them, who were robbed by them. Nineveh is the Taliban. They're the ISIS of his day, but they've directly attacked him, if you will. They're the enemy. And when God says to Jonah, go to Nineveh, he's like, nope, I'm not doing it, because he knew something. And we find it out later in the book, and we'll look at it later in the series. He knew, God, you'll forgive them if they call on you. And Jonah didn't want them forgiven. Jonah wanted them judged. Now, you've never wanted that. Anybody who's ever done you wrong, you've always wanted to know that God blessed them and poured out blessing on them and treated them good. That's how you are. Whenever anybody hurts you, you've always been like, Lord, I know they didn't mean it. And just bless them, God, and treat them well and forgive them. Again, perhaps there's a little Jonah in all of us. perhaps there's a little Jonah in all of us along the way. Jonah was like, I don't want him forgiven. So he's running. He's trying to get away. He flees, if you will. Now, let me give you a couple of quick things about him that are so important and related to all of that. And the first one is this, and that is that God is faster than me. Everybody say that. Say, God is faster than me. Come on, let me hear you say it. Say, God is faster than me. You can't outrun God because God's too fast and he always knows where you're going. See, if I'm faster than you, you can't outrun me anyway. But what if I'm faster than you and I know where you're going? Now you really don't have a chance because I can beat you there. Now when you get there, guess what? There you go. Thank you very much. I'm already there. I knew where you were going anyway, and I'm faster than you. So I beat you to the punch. Listen to these words that David wrote. I'm going to read them to you. Just listen to these words. I'll tell you where they're found afterwards. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness, I can't hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 17. You can't get away from God. God wrote of Jonah's days before they began, just as he wrote of yours and wrote of mine. He made us. He knew what we would do. He knows our decisions in advance. He knows when we will resist, but he's everywhere, so we cannot run him. Abraham tried to run from God. He went down to Egypt. When he got there, God got there first. God met him there. Moses fled to the desert. Guess what he found when he got to the desert? God beat him to the desert. God met him there. God's already there. He couldn't get away from it. Peter denied that he even knew Christ and thought perhaps it was all over for him. And then one day out on his fishing boat, that's his profession, he's gone back to work, he looks up and who's standing on the shore? Jesus. Jesus is standing there. He already knew he was going out on the boat. And Jesus calls him in. He says, come on in. Jesus was there making breakfast. That's how we know Jesus was Jamaican, because he was making fish for breakfast. Come on, where are the Jamaicans in the house? Jesus up there making some ackee and salt fish and had it going on. So, thank you, Wayne. You can't get away. He's already there. He's always there wherever you go. He's already there. He beats us to that place. God is too fast. When Jonah tried to run to Tarshish, God met him on the journey. God already knew what ticket he would buy. God already knew what boat he would be on. God already prepared the fish. And hear me, friend, if there is an area in your life or in my life where we are not submitting to the will of God, instead we're going in the opposite direction, we can't get away from the heart of God because God is too fast. I can't get away from him. And he won't stop pursuing us because he always wants to bring us back into his will. Always remember, no one wants you to do God's will as much as God wants you to do God's will. No one wants you to do God's will as much as God wants you to do God's will. So God's going to do everything to keep us in it. It's where he wants us to be. Let me keep moving here. Not only is God faster than me, God is stronger than me. Somebody say that. God is stronger than me. God is stronger than us. He's stronger than we are. There's nothing we can do. Let me give you a few verses here that will bless you that show this for us. Isaiah 8:11 says this. This is what the Lord says to me with his strong hand upon me. Psalm 118:16 says this. It says, the Lord's right hand has done mighty things. Psalm 89:13 says this. You have a mighty arm, strong is your hand. Psalm 20, verse 6 says this. Now this I know, the Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Matthew 26:64, I think we're frozen again, but it says this. It refers to God's right hand of power. Our God is awesome. Our God is mighty. Amen? God is stronger than me. The men in the boat, it's amazing. They believe Jonah's story. I read it to you. Jonah tells them the story. He says, listen, the reason this happened is because I'm running from God. I serve the one true and living God, maker of heaven and earth, everything, and I'm running from God. They believe the whole story. It's kind of crazy because the story is so sensational. He says, yeah, this whole storm, it's because of me. Think about this this morning. Think about this this morning. My brother David. What if I... Stand up for me, David. What if I was standing here with David and we were looking out at the snow here? Go ahead and look out at it. Can you see it out the window there? I'm like, hey, see that snow out there? What if David turned to me and said, you know, the whole reason for this snowstorm is because of me? I'd be like, what? What are you talking about? He says, yeah, you know, I was going to go out of town today and I'm not supposed to. So God sent this snowstorm to keep me in town so I couldn't go away. I'd be like, so you were going to go out of town and shouldn't. So multiple states experienced this snowstorm that traveled across the whole country. Maybe you're not as important as you think you are. Jonah says, you know, the whole storm, it's because of me. And they believe him. They believe the whole story. They're like, man, that is amazing. This guy, man, this whole storm came because of him. All we're experiencing, they believe the whole thing is true. But even though they believe the whole thing is true and they believe everything he says, they believe him all up until the point where they say, well, what do we have to do to stop it? He says, oh, you got to throw me in. They go, no, that ain't going to happen. We believe you. We believe you, but that's not going to happen. Instead, what do? They try to row back to shore. That's what it says. So they believe the whole story. It's not that they don't believe him. They believe the whole story. And even though they believe it, they try to row back to shore. It's in Jonah 1:13. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. They believe the story. They try to row back. Here's what they're doing. Let's see if we're stronger than God. Let's see if we can outmuscle God. Here's what we're going to do, Jonah. We'll get you to shore. And you can take the MTA to Nineveh, all right? You can take the bus. You could take the train. You could do something else to get there. But we'll get you to the shore or to Tarshish, if you will. But we'll get you back. But they discovered something, that there was no way to out-muscle God. You can't do it. You can't out-muscle God. God's too strong. Amen? So I want you to remember that in your life. The harder these guys rode, the stronger the sea became. These men discovered that God is stronger than them. No matter how much I try to resist the will of God in my life, no matter how determined I would ever be to continue in my sin, no matter how rebellious I am against what God wants me to do, I can't outmuscle the strong arm of God. If you say to a God who loves you, God, I'm not going to do what you want me to do, I'm just going to live in sin, I want you to know that God's going to fight with you. God's not going to give up on you. God's not going to say, okay, go ahead and live a life of sin. God's going to say, you know what? That's what you want to do? You're in for a fight. I'm going to do battle with you. I'm going to battle you because God loves you too much to let you go. God loves you too much to leave you in sin. God loves you too much to let you miss out on his will. So he pursues us and he's stronger, and you can't outmuscle the strong arm of God. Jonah couldn't, I can't, neither can you. Catch this as a last thought today. Not only is God faster than me and God stronger than me, this is the last one that's so important. God has never given up on me. God has never given up on me. When I first came to a relationship with Christ, I worked for an electrical contractor at the time. Now I was still a high school student. It was a summer vacation, but I worked for an electrical contractor, and I was zealous in my new faith. I was so excited about my new faith in Jesus Christ. I hadn't grown up in church. It was all brand new to me. I went to work. I told the guys at work about it. I thought everybody would be as excited to hear about Jesus as I was. Guess what I found out? They're not all as excited as I was. Not everybody was excited to hear about Jesus. Some had heard about Jesus. Some were running from Jesus. They didn't want to hear about Jesus. So I learned this when I got there. And these guys that I worked with, I was the youngest guy on the job. And these men, they made my life miserable after that. I mean, they treated me terrible at times. They pushed me. They tested me. They tried me. They did everything they could to get on my nerves, to try to make me angry, to put me in situations I shouldn't be in. And this just went on for like a month or two while I was still there, and it was brutal. It drove me crazy. I wanted to quit my job. I didn't want to work there, and I still stuck it out until the summer ended. And then I got another job, and I got a job in a department store. Now, I didn't know it, but when I got the job in the department store, they were being a little tricky here because they brought me in for an interview. I had applied, and this was the only real question in my interview. They said, do you know how to put ballast in fluorescent light fixtures? See, they had seen I worked at an electrical contractor, and I said, yes, I do. So they were like, okay, they hired me. So after school, I would go to the department store. It was a 20-some foot ceiling. I would stay up on a ladder most days, replacing the ballast, which power fluorescent light fixtures in the ceiling. I didn't even know if it was legal. They paid me minimum wage to do electrical work every day after school, but that was how they do it down there in Virginia. So be careful when you're over that way. So, and that's where I was. So, and this is what I would do. Now, when I worked in the department store, because working for Brinkley Ward Electric had been so difficult, once they knew I was a believer, guess what? I didn't tell anybody I was a Christian. I said, I'm not going to tell anybody. Nobody's going to know I'm a believer. I'm not going to be bad, but I'm just going to blend in. I don't want to go through that again. So I come to work. I do my job. Hey, I'm a nice guy, whatever. But I don't say anything about Jesus. I don't invite anybody to church. I don't carry a Bible. Nothing to indicate I'm any different. I'm just there. I just want to blend in. I just want to be there, man. I don't want to do that. Now, has God called me to be a witness? Yes, he's called all of us to be a witness. Am I called to go into all the world and preach the gospel to everybody? Yep, so are you. We all are. So, and are you the light of the world? Am I the light of the world? Are we the salt of the earth? I was like, no, man, I'm leaving my salt shaker and light fixture at home. I'm blending in. That's miserable. So I left everything. I said, I'm just going to work and doing my job and going home. I'm not doing that. So I go to work. I go to church. So what I did is I had my church life over here, and then I had my work life over here. Hello. You would never do that, but I did it. I did it. Here's my church life. Here's my work life. And then one day I'm at work, and I walked up toward the front of the store. And there's this woman up there. She's making this big purchase. It's all these artificial flowers or whatever. So it's a long checkout time. And the woman who's checking her out at the grocery, she's the woman who's running the cash register. Her name was Jean Booker. She was the head cashier. And Jean's there, and she's conversing with this woman. The other woman's name was Yvonne. And she's talking to Yvonne, and I knew Yvonne. You know where I knew Yvonne from? From my church. Stop telling the story. Let me tell it. From my church. I knew Yvonne from my church. So I come walking up there, and Yvonne is there, and they're having this conversation. Now, I haven't heard the conversation, but what is happening is Yvonne is sharing the gospel with Jean and is inviting her out to church and everything, and she's there for a while. And I come walking up, and this is Yvonne. She's standing, and I walk up. I say, hi, Yvonne, and she's like, hey. And she says, well, what? He's told you about all of this. He's told you about our church and all of this. And I'm standing there, and Jean turns and looks at me, and she looks at her, and she says, he's never told me anything about any of this stuff. Let me crawl back over here real quick. Yeah. He's never told me about any of this. So what am I doing? Instead of being who God wants me to be, instead of doing what God wants me to do, I've tried to do otherwise, but you know what God went and did? God prepared a fish. God prepared a fish. God always prepares a fish. God said, no. I want you to do my will, and I'm getting you back. I'm getting you back. You might think you can get away from my will, but God loves you too much just to leave you away from his will. God says, no, I'll get you back. I'll bring you back over here. Now, could I still resist God if I really wanted to? Sure, you could. But I want you to know God loves you so much, he'll never give up on you. He'll just keep chasing you. He's after you. God never gives up on any of us. That's what God did with Jonah. Jonah 1:17 says, now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. God prepared the fish. What a plan. Can you imagine being an angel in heaven, and God calls you over and says, listen, I got this fish I made. Make sure he's in the Mediterranean around this area at this time, because he's going to swallow this guy when they throw him off the boat. If I was the angel, I'd be like, this is going to be so awesome. This is going to be awesome. He's such a creative God. And this is the plan that God has, and this is the plan that God does to get him back. He's the same God who didn't give up on Peter. He's the same God who didn't give up on Abraham. He's the same God who didn't give up on David. He was the same God who wasn't going to give up on Jonah. And he's the same God who's never going to give up on you and never gives up on me. That's still who he is. He's the same. He loves you too much. He made you. He created you for a purpose. He knows your potential. He'll never give up on you. So when we give up on ourselves, even though God doesn't, God comes along and says, God says, let's try this again. Are you with me? That's always going to be God's response in your life. Let's try this again. Let's do this again. I'm going to give you another shot at this one. And God brings us around. He's the God of the second chance and third and fourth and as many as we need along the way. He never gives up. When we say, God, I knew what you wanted me to do and I didn't do it. I ran from it. I went in the wrong direction. God says, I got news for you. I prepared a fish. Now, hopefully, getting us back into the will of God does not involve being swallowed by an animal, because none of us want that. I hope you aren't going home today and an alpaca swallows you or something, or a dog chases you down. You're like, oh, this is going to be horrifying. I hope it never happens in any of your lives. But I want to tell you, if there's areas in your life or my life that are outside of the will of God, I got news for you. God isn't leaving you there. If there are areas in your life right now that are outside of God's will, God won't leave you there. He loves you too much. He's like, nope, I'm bringing you out of that. If there's areas in your life where you're thinking, man, I've kept this area of my life separate from God, God's like, nope, it's not going to work that way. We're going to bring that back. We're going to bring that over here. God never gives up. He's faster than you. He's stronger than you. He always wants you in his will, so he never lets us go. He never gives up on us, praise God. The fish was already there waiting for Jonah. In the story of the prodigal son that Jesus told, the father is there waiting for him. God is always waiting for us as well, waiting for us to submit to his will, waiting for us to obey his word, waiting for us to follow his call. What's the answer to all that, if you will? Stop rowing. Stop running. Stop resisting God's will. God loves me too much to let me go anyway. God loves you too much to let you go in anyway. So in any area of our life where we're not really in conformity in the will of God, it always, you know what? I need to just submit this to God. Because that's going to be the end of this anyway, because God wants me back. Amen? Would you stand with me? Amen. Hallelujah. He loves you. Amen? He loves me. He loves you. He's all powerful. He's almighty. There's no one like him. Hallelujah. He's the same God. He's the same God. Praise God. And we sang it today. We sang our God is awesome. Amen. We sang he's mighty. We sang there's no one like him. That's still the case in all of our lives. In all of our lives. God always wants us back. Would you just shut yourself in right now with God one-on-one? If you're at home, do the same thing. Maybe you're there with your family if you're at home right now. That's all right. This is a one-on-one time with you and God. Although it might be a whole family together. Let's be honest with ourselves as we would search our hearts and say, man, are there areas in my life that are outside of God's will? Right now is another call from God to say, hey, let's bring that back into what I have for you. I want to forgive you. That's God's word to you right now. I want to forgive you. I want to make things right. I want to make you new. I want you right here in the center of my will. I want you doing what I want you to do. I want you abstaining from where I don't want you to be. Let's bring ourselves back into that conformity. God's never going to give up on us anyway. Let's submit to him. Jonah was going to end up in Nineveh one way or the other. It would have been a whole lot easier to just go there on his own. Let's say yes to him. Let's say yes to him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Draw us near to you, Lord God. Draw us near to you. Be at work in our hearts and our minds, Lord God. Renew. I pray for grace to flow today in our lives. I pray for renewal in our lives today, Lord God. I pray that you would make us like you, Lord God. Wash sin away. I pray where we've run, Lord God, we'd come back into conformity, that we would be yours. Thanks, God, for loving us so much. Thanks for never giving up on us, Lord God. Thanks for never giving up on us, Lord God. We say yes to you. We say yes to you today. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hey, let's worship just a bit. Let's sing a song of affirmation. Amen.